Meet Gail. Her thing is being a supermom. And supermom has a lot on her super-sized plate.
Ain't that the truth.
But at Walmart Pharmacy, supermom recently got her whole family updated on all their vaccines.
We knocked it out during a grocery run. No appointment.
That's next-level supermom. From pneumonia to shingles, HPV, and more, get no-cost vaccinations from an expert pharmacist where you already shop. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart. $0 copay with most insurances. State age and health restrictions may apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Shift and steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, it's Shift and Steer. Welcome to the party, pal. And hey, we're going to just start right out because I know that I was the only one that went out to this event because Matt was feeling a little under the weather. Aaron is up north, but I went out to the Grand National Roadster Show, the big granddaddy. And I'll give you a little bit of the lowdown of what I saw. Now, Dave Merrick, my buddy from Man Seeks Adventure and my good friend, he went with me. We went out on Wednesday night for setup night, which has become kind of a tradition. If you can score your way in, it's hot because everybody's setting up. You get to talk to everybody, get a preview of the cars, and you get to photograph the cars before there's a million people around them. And the show this year, I've got to say, I've been going for years when it was the Oakland Roadster Show. And this year was one of the best years. There were so many people out there. And I think it's because the past few years, it overlapped with Barrett Jackson and overlapped with a couple other events, and it kind of had its opening this year. And so everyone was there. It was great. All kinds of cool cars. And, of course, close to my heart was Building 9, which was the Pro Street building. And, man, did Kevin do a good job of pulling cars. Because you got to remember, they don't get paid to show up at this show. They have to trailer in, do things. Like my good buddy, Mark Grimes, he had two of his cars there. Now, Mark's from Omaha, and Mark is one of the Pro Street Kings from back in the 80s. And he had his Malibu there that was on the cover of CarCraft at one time and said, is this the best Pro Street car ever built? And then he had his Eurosport, which is triple blown. He's got a 671 Dyers, and then two B&M blowers going into that, all fuel injected, and it's over the top like all of them. And him as an example, had his trailer ready, his truck blew up, he had to send it back for warranty work, so he had to put him on a transporter and get him out here. And our buddies over at I want to throw a shout out to, you know, Peter Shaporis over at SoCal Speed Shop, because Mark had nowhere to have that car delivered to. And I gave a call out to them and they were more than ready and let the transporter drop it there so Mark could pick it up and get it over to the show, which was very cool. Thank you, Peter. And, but everyone, as I said, they had to get their cars here, and there were guys from all over the country. Some of the most notable cars that were there from the Pro Street days. If you ever read Hot Rod or CarCraft back in the day, there was Rick Dobertson's Nova and the J2000 that the body lifts up. The entire chassis is built out of polished stainless. I mean, the car is over the top. And then, of course, Matthew Hay had his T-Bird there. And a lot of these cars were made into model kits over the years. And it was pretty cool to see them in person again. And for some people, the very first time they ever got to see them, they had an entire building of these Pro Street Heroes. And we'll post a bunch of photos. I think I might have already posted a gallery of photos on Shift and Steer. And some of them will blow you away, because have you guys seen any of these where the motors are so ridiculous? I mean, it's fun ridiculous. They're like cartoons. The motors are so crazy big. And, you know, blower on blower and, you know, all kinds of really cool stuff, like big giant tires. And it's Pro Street.
So
people
fun.
Loved it, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that building was packed. So
yeah, it was all over social media. It was really nice to see some of our friends that won and see everybody there. And some of our buddies all the way from St. Louis were there and showing, and yeah, the guys from Classic Car Studio. It was really nice to see. I wish I was there, Brad. I really do. I kind of regret not having gone.
It was fun. The granddaddy, now our buddy Bobby Alloway from Alloway's Hot Rod Shop, he was over heading up the judging at Barrett Jackson for the Barrett Jackson Cup, jumped on a plane, came over here and headed up the judging for the Grand National Roadster Show, for the most America's Most Beautiful Roadster, which was difficult this year because
they were all coupes.
A lot of great cars, they were all coupes. No, but the big thing, you guys, was that there were a couple cars that were a little different, but contenders. And what I mean by that is Alan Johnson brought a car that was magenta with black flames and black wheels. And it, other than that, it was a completely traditional roadster with steelies and all that. But it was, there was a young lady who had that car built because she had always been around, admired the cars, and she had a little pedal car that was magenta and black flames that her dad had done for her, I think. And there were pictures of her at the Roadster Show way back when. And so she actually replicated the car in real life. And it was kind of down to the two cars, I think. And it went traditional. It went with the black flame tub that was built by Brizio's and painted by Daryl Hollenbeck. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. And Daryl's wife, Terry Brizio, she was awarded a big award, a person of the year. And Chico from Moon Eyes got into the Hall of Fame. So
yep, very cool.
It was a big year. Big.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys see the car that won the Al Sloniker Award? It was a 59 Impala called Bespoke. My gosh, this car was phenomenal. And, you know, look that up. You can check it out.
Is that the award that Andy Leach won last year?
Yes, yes. And amazing is this 59 Impala. Now, I'm not saying all the idiosyncrasies of the car and things like that. However, the color is so close to Andy's that, you know, at a quick glance, you kind of go, wait a minute, you know, and, pretty cool car. Hot Rods by Dean had a contender for that award. That was a C10 pickup truck. And this thing was badass. Black with a red interior. They had a really cool bed. You know how the beds are normally wood and you see the slats? Their slats were honeycomb in aluminum, it collapsed into itself towards the center so you could see the entire chassis. And it was nice. It was really nice. And for it was good to see a C10 make the final pick for the Sloniker Award. That's a big deal. But it was packed out there, guys. You know, inclement weather, still cars outside, still lots of people outside. I will say that Dave Merrick did make sure that the beer garden was well used. So that was not a problem at all. But did you guys
find the bed on that truck? I missed that.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's, not only that, I liked the powder coat they used on the wheels. It I don't know what it was, but it was a rough silver. And I liked the way it looked because it didn't make them look cast, but it gave them a hand, you know, a nice little rough hand that really, really worked on that truck against the black and the red. And then they had the bumpers the same color. And it was cool.
Well, there
was,
I see it. Yeah. Wow. That is really cool. So the middle of the bed accordions.
It accordions towards the center so you can see everything.
Wow, that is,
and it's made out of like a honeycomb material. It's really,
yeah. You can see it's almost like it's under glass. The honeycomb is under glass. Boy, that is slick. People are doing some really next level stuff, man. I have to say, I don't know. You know, it's just people are thinking differently. They're thinking out of the box these days. I really, really love it.
Yeah,
for some new materials. For such a tradition. Yeah, but for such a traditional place, is that roaster show. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's way out of the realm of tradition. You know, it's really cool.
No, it's well done. And even some of the lowriders that were there that were just so, I mean, that, you know, just so much going on.
Wow.
Now, Matt, before the Roadster show, you scooted out to the annual SEMA MPMC, which might be the last one I ever went to because now it's going to Florida. So
They're moving it to Orlando.
Here we say that's a long ways to go. Well, people have been coming out this way for years from all over the country.
Well, I mean, look, I think it's a good idea from them. I think there's different manufacturers that can attend. Excuse me, I have a cold, so
yes, you can do.
Definitely hear it.
Yeah.
different manufacturers that can attend, different media, different. You know, I don't know what the right term is. I don't want to say influencer, but the media now is YouTubers and social media people, and there's not really that many magazines
and podcasters
and podcasters. And
I'm gonna say, Matt, I had the conversation with numerous people there where they went, "Yeah, we're starting to look at podcasts." I'm like, "Well, huh?" You know, I mean, it's like, so that's good though.
I think the plan is to maybe start switching it off like every year or every, you know, every 2 years.
Right.
So they're going to figure out what that plan is. But it'll be kind of interesting. Orlando's a little tough for us. So I've been going to MPMC for 17 years. It's been a long time. So those of you that don't know, it happens now in like January. And the idea is it's kind of like the SEMA show, but without all of the glam and the booths and the show cars. And if you take all that away and you just have the new performance parts, the new aftermarket performance parts, this is an opportunity for the media to basically go and meet with a bunch of manufacturers, sort of like speed dating.
You know, I was just going to say it's like sessions. Speed dating for media people.
And kind of pitch what your tech articles are going to be, what your project builds are going to be, and see if it makes sense for any of those manufacturers to get involved, or sponsor a vehicle or anything like that. So, it's always been kind of a cool event, but you know, because I've been doing it for so long, and Brad, you've been kind of going on and off for a long time, that we know a lot of the companies that are there. So when I started out. I was going for all 3 days. I was doing 45 meetings in 3 days plus some of the breaks. So maybe, you know, 47 meetings, you know, but now I just go one day and I jam a bunch of meetings into one day, and free up some more meeting times for other people, for new media. But it was good. It was good to catch up with everybody and have a little bit more time to talk with them. Which you don't normally get to do at SEMA.
Exactly.
And you can kind of see how people move around from company to company. A lot of the same people in the industry, but oftentimes they may switch jobs. And I think the biggest difference this year was talking to the companies about how they've sort of rolled up all these other brands, like what Holley Group has done, and what Aeromotive Group, now Roadster Shop, Edelbrock Group, Comp Cams and Edelbrock Group are all one now. Holley's bought up pretty much everything. There's
Except
a new group.
Wheels.
Yeah. There's a group called the Roadster Shop. The Roadster Shop that we knew that was making chassis.
Yeah.
They got bought by a group that owned JBA headers and Doug's headers and Aeromotive fuel systems. And then they renamed the whole group the Roadster Shop again.
We have Hoonigan, the Roadster Shop. I mean,
Hoonigan, which is bought by Wheel Company and Wheel Pros, I think, and renamed it Hoonigan. It's just kind of interesting. And some of this happened a couple of years ago, like during COVID or prior to COVID. But now that the dust is settled, you're starting to figure out how the integration is going between all of these companies. And for the most part, it's going well. I'm happy to say that most of these companies are doing well. Their head is definitely above water. They've got some organization that's going on, and whether that required shifting up management a little bit, you know, let's face it. Sometimes a private equity firm comes in and their eyes are so big that, you know, they see all this opportunity and then don't realize how complicated it is to acquire these companies and to really start to figure out what does that mean. You know, you have to start to consolidate manpower. You have to consolidate warehouse space, manufacturing, you know, a lot of those things. Like out here, very famously for a long time, was Edelbrock headquarters.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when this whole merger kind of settled, it didn't make sense to keep, you know, warehouses and manufacturing here other than the foundry. The foundry is a key, it's a key part of that business, where they cast intake manifolds and cylinder heads and stuff. So the foundry is a big part of what they purchase. But, you know, there's warehouses at Comp Performance Group in Tennessee, I believe it is. And it doesn't make sense to have all the Edelbrock stuff here. So it moved out there and a bunch of people moved out there with it. But yeah, it's a good event. It's good to catch up with people. And it's cool to see all the new parts kind of up close in person, to see all the new stuff that's being developed. Really, really innovative stuff.
So there were a lot of great things that opened my eyes that I saw and we'll be talking about. And we'll have a lot of these people as guests coming up in the next couple of months that we spoke with. So you can find out about it. But one of the things, guys, is you've heard me talk about these the quality of the big wheel cars that have happened. You know my company Bond Speed Wheels, we do a large business with the big wheel market, which are these guys who now have their own racing association, the Big Wheel Racing Association, racing on 22s, 24s. A lot of these cars that have LS motors running on 26s and full chassis. It's amazing the money that are going into them, $300,000-$400,000 cars. And I met a couple of the guys at MPMC. The one guy that's on TV goes by Donk Master. He was there and I talked to him. I also met the guys from the Big Wheel Racing Association. And I was real happy because they all knew Bond Speed. And it was cool. And kind of rounding that out, I met with QA1 Suspension. And what was interesting from that conversation was I had mentioned to him, I said, I saw that you have come out with suspension parts, tubular A-arms and you know, coilover kits and everything, you know, not just for G-bodies and Caprices and things like that, but specifically for the big wheel cars. And they said, thank you for noticing, you know, and I said, well, that's a big part of my market. And what they're doing, which is interesting, is they noticed that, you know, our stance is down low, nose down. Some of these people, they're up high or they even have nose up as the attitude that they like. And that requires different things in the suspension so that you don't get toe out and all that. And they went in and actually reconfigured A-arms and and things like that, for those big wheel cars. And it to add to it, they put a big wheel car in their booth at SEMA this year and had a real mixed, oh, what do you got that? You know, we talked about that. But it also reinforced that market. And we had a really cool discussion about that. And I think we're going to get a couple of those guys on to talk about the big wheel market in the coming months, because it'll open a lot of people's eyes. These guys are putting in, some of these real high-end motors and full chassis. It might have a square body, Caprice body that we're not, that turned on by, but to them, that's a Camaro. And it's great to hear that other part and how that, because it's really a big growing part of our industry. So it's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Those cars.
Oh my gosh. One just sold for $400,000, and that opened a lot of people's eyes at auction.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
More on the show car end, but it still had, a full, completely built motor, chassis, everything about it, hand stitched interior, and, the whole thing. So, the other thing, just brush on, but it's over now. But Barrett Jackson, we did a whole show on it on the last episode, but we didn't have the results in. Did you guys grab the results? Because it was a record setter, and
Wow. Very
few single event auctions. Meekum's done it a few times, but
yeah,
200,000,009.
Wow.
And that is cars only. They were very specific. That didn't include all of the memorabilia and stuff that they sell in the mornings. That was only vehicles. But 200 million.
Crazy. Points. People are still spending money. I don't care what anybody says. People are spending money.
Aaron, if you would have seen it, it was Matt and I were just sitting up there going, huh? On Saturday, especially. It was just money was just flowing.
Wow. But,
another event that just squeaked out. And Aaron, you got to admit it, that they just made it, because the event ended on Saturday and then all this weather came
kind
of moving in, but King of Hammers.
Yeah.
Johnson Valley is not where you want to be if you're getting 9 inches of rain.
No. And it's true. They just barely made it. I missed King of the Hammers again this year, too. I didn't get to see it.
No, I've got to get back out there. I've only been there once, and it was way back when it was first kind of in infancy. And now, have you guys noticed what an event it has become? I mean, did you see who the sponsors were this year, you guys?
I mean, yeah. I haven't been, but just looking at the size and scope of it, you're right. The sponsors and stuff that are showing up and sort of like pop-up pavilions, like there's a whole like totally. Optima thing going on. And
it's a desert city.
Yeah. I was with, I bumped into Tanner Faust at Barrett. He flew in because he's a pilot. And then he said he was leaving and flying to King of the Hammers to do something there. I mean, a gig. I'm sure he was getting hired to do something. But it seems like a crazy event. I got an invitation to go, but I had to be at Barrett Jackson.
Yeah, no, it's just becoming, that go-to event. And as you said, Matt, all of the pavilions and the just all of the activation that's going on. And I don't mean car companies. I mean, these people that are underwriting the event, big insurance companies and things like that. It's great. That is great for our industry, because they're seeing that that there are a lot of eyeballs on that.
Some great out. Just check out the social media, cinematic footage of the whole event.
Didn't get any event organizer arguments or get kicked out or anything this year, right?
Yeah, right. No, as far as I know, everything went well.
the whole event's just becoming, it's, people all just gravitate towards it, and it's awesome. It is awesome. And having companies like Progressive Insurance and Nitto Tires and, you know, everybody look at it as a point of, you know, where they need to be. That's great.
Oh yeah. MagnaFlow was out there and I mean, everybody's out there. Yeah. And our friend Teresa was out there too. I think she has
a little party that kind she lives in Johnson.
I was just going to say she has
a free
right
party that everybody goes to. And
yeah, exactly.
I thought maybe Matt would be out there doing Bravago activation at her party. You know, just have like a big keg of Bravago or something.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah, yes, should. It might be something to think about. It's definitely your market.
Yeah.
Definitely your market.
Okay, when we talk about companies and activation, now this one kind of slid up silently. They must have coasted in without the motor running. But what did you guys think about that Hamburglar McDonald's Huda? I got to admit, a guy I know designed it, and I kind of half thought it was a joke that, McDonald's isn't going to really. And now it's real, and I'm like going, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, the center of the steering wheel has the McDonald's M. You open the center console, it has a burger warmer in there, and you know, on and on and on, all these little things. And
I have to say, Brad, when I first looked it up, the exterior is beautiful, but all the interior shots I thought were AI because it has that mistiness to it, you know, and that certain, so it really looks AI generated, but it's kind of gorgeous. I mean, it's a good looking car inside and out. If you take away the branding, it's like, you know, it works. I mean, it's interesting.
It's a little weird.
It is weird. That's why it was AI surreal. Like
here's what I'm saying, guys. At the height, back in like the 70s and into the 80s, when manufacturers looked to custom cars or to drag racing or whatever, any kind of racing, as a way to brand their product, it helped us tremendously. Will this light the fuse? You know, it depends on how they do it. What, you know, is this just one individual in marketing at McDonald's that says, hey man, let's do this? Because if it's successful, it could bring other people in, you know, and it's fun. They did it well. It's, you know, there's, to us, some things might come across as a little cheesy, but you know,
wait, literally like cheeseburger cheesy. Yeah. I have a quick question for you. Is that ketchup running under the center console or is it a heat lamp? I think it's a heat lamp.
It's a heat lamp. It's a burger warmer.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can see that going so wrong.
I mean,
so sir, how did your car catch on fire? Well,
It must always smell like McDonald's inside the car, right?
Yeah, well, anybody that knows that there's an old college prank or any prank of putting a McDonald's, you know, something McDonald's under a fish fillet under the seat and leaving it there.
Wait a minute, is that why the truck smells bad since you rode with me in it?
Anyway,
here's the question. Why did they choose the Hamburglar?
I don't know, but the black and white stripes are key. I love the black and white.
Well, I like the yellow pinstripe, you know, too.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's just.
And it said that the hubcaps resemble hamburgers, but there was no detail shot of it. I don't know how they're doing because it looked like stock dog dish hubcaps, but I don't know.
Yeah, definitely a dog dish hubcap.
It's, you know what? I love to see a corporation get involved and I do like the way they did the, in the quarter panel stripe, they did the,
like QR code
there, you know?
Yeah.
I just tried to scan it, but I can't get it off the, can't get a good photo of it.
But I already entered their sweepstakes, man, for a free year of hamburgers. Why not?
I'm sure your heart will appreciate it.
Keep sending it to the doctor.
Every day, you know, who was the guy that did that years ago and did a documentary about it?
Yeah. I forgot that guy's name, but
But no, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, when you look at it and you see like in the grill, instead of CUDA, it's got McDonald's.
Yeah. You take away the branding and it's a pretty neat custom build, you know. You add the branding and you kind of giggle a little bit.
Okay, now wait a minute though. What major build doesn't have branding now, Matt? I mean, Aaron.
Yeah, but not. Yeah, no. You're absolutely right. But McDonald's, we always see is kind of the low end of quote unquote food. Right. I mean, for me to go to McDonald's, it's got to be 4 a.m. I've been driving all night. There's nothing else open, and I'm starving. And I always regret it.
I didn't. I left the Grand National Roadster Show and hadn't eaten all day because the alternative out there was, you know, those things at the stands that you don't know what you're getting. And I stopped at the McDonald's at the bottom of the hill, man. Got a couple cheeseburgers.
Oh, it makes me so sick. I've eaten
Diet Coke, you guys. I told you I quit drinking Diet Coke for the most part. And no more. I haven't had a Big Gulp in a month.
Man, good job.
And see, look at this. See that right there?
Now
every
now
time
he has
I
a lot
don't
of...
get one on the way to work, I put the money in a jar. And now
that's smart.
He doesn't have a Big Gulp, he has a large swallow.
I still have my Rockstar in the morning and then I go to bottled water the rest of the day.
Good job, Brad.
But
good.
We talked about these. That is what made it right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The little Mio, the Mio Sports. And okay, Matt, on the last episode, we spoke about that Audi that sold at RM that we all loved. We love that Audi. Now, hot off of that, grabbing huge dollars, we have Audi announcing that a very limited 85 units to the U.S.
Wow.
That goddamn rad Audi 2025 RS6 GT. That thing's badass, guys. That thing is
love cool. It.
And I'd it's in a box. It's second. A wagon. It's a, yes. It's got, it's almost got kind of a racing livery to it. The thing is cool.
Love
for
it.
For sure.
Bulged out body. And I like their wagons anyway. There's a couple in my neighborhood and I just lust over those things.
Yeah. I like the Porsche wagon too. I love this look. It's such a cool that the Grand Sport or Grand Turismo. You know, I love that look. So cool.
It's pretty amazing. They're going to make 660 units and only 85 come to the U.S.
Yeah.
But a twin turbo V8 that's putting out 630 horsepower. I mean, 22-inch wheels, coilover suspension. Everything about it is so cool. I mean, Matt, do you know any other specs on it?
Well, I know it's going to be $235,000.
Ouch.
That's what I mean. It's a bargain. It's a bargain, man.
Yeah. You know, I just drove the Audi S6. And I didn't drive the wagon, but I drove before, but I drove sort of the slightly upgraded S6. And... as cool as the RS6 is, you shouldn't look over the S6 because the S6 is the more affordable version of the high performance sedan that they do. It still is 0-60 in 4.5 seconds, still has 444 horsepower, but it's the turbocharged V6 engine. It's got the 2.9 liter engine instead of the 8-cylinder. And it's, you know, it starts at 75,000 and I think you could, you know, option it up a little bit and, get it into the 80s, but you know, for around that price, you still get yourself a really fantastic, performance sedan. Now the S7 is kind of an interesting vehicle because that's also kind of a sedan, but the hatchback version. And that's a cool car, but it's a price jump. So if you want bang for the buck, the S6 is kind of the way to go.
Those RSs are just good looking, though, man. They just look so, you know. And, you know, you can get a 2024 for around 109,000 or something like that?
Yeah.
Not
option.
Still out.
Right. But... Yeah. Right. Not the crazy limited one we were talking about, the RS6 GT. But yeah, they're 100 and, you know, maybe 100 and change.
They're neat. They're neat. And I'm with you, Aaron. Those Porsche wagons, I've only seen two of them. And we usually see everything down here. You know, it's like, and I've only seen two of them.
There's one that runs around here in Napa, and every time I see it, I get so excited. You know, I always wish that I was in something nicer, just, you know, to get a wave back. but my Honda Element just isn't cutting it.
Hey, you can, you know, you're like me. I get a wave away, like, get away from my expensive car. Come on, go.
Well, if I was in the Mini Cooper, the Defender, you know, and you give any exotic a wave, they're like, hey, nice, you know. But yeah, the Honda Element, it's like it's invisible, which is why I got it. Some days you just want to be invisible,
right?
You know, you wear your oversized hoodie and your big frumpy boots and your, you know, your torn up jeans, and you drive your Honda Element.
Matt, did you drive a Mustang this week? Last week?
Yeah, I've been driving the Mustang Dark Horse. Now, unfortunately, it's been raining the whole time, so
What color is it?
It's red. It's red with the automatic transmission, which is fine because my Mach 1 has a manual, and I drove on the track the GT and the EcoBoost with manual transmissions. So, excuse me, to get an opportunity to drive, you know, the automatic was. Yeah.
It's a good looking car, good, man. Like I said, that my friend in Tahoe has a white one, and man, that car is gorgeous and white with the black carbon trim. And
the new car is very cool. I think if they release that engine in the aftermarket, if Ford puts it in their catalog, maybe at SEMA this year, I think it's going to be the go-to Coyote swap, because the big problem with the Coyote has been the single throttle body. Not that it's a problem with it, but just cosmetically, every builder's like, I just got this big elephant trunk coming off the front of my vehicle. And now it's twin throttle bodies, and it's got some symmetry to it. And when you open the hood, and I'll send you guys, I'll post some pictures of these as well on my Instagram, but you open the hood and you really see some symmetry there, and it's cool looking. I think that's going to make a big difference in the engine swap community, the resto mod community. But listen, the car sounds fantastic. It handles great. It was comfortable for me personally. I can't seem to get comfortable in the Recaro seats, the optional Recaros. I never really could. They kind of dig into my sides and they push my shoulders forward, and maybe I'm just too small to fit in the seat. Like, you have to be tall but really thin. And I think when I got my Mach 1, I got it with the full power heated and cooled seats, and they're just far more comfortable to me. And my thought was, if I wanted to track the car, I could always put it in a racing seat. But if I bought it with the Recaros, good luck putting in a normal seat that's heated and cooled and powered. You wouldn't get those options, right?
Yeah, that's so a good point.
I opted out with the full comfortable seat. The digital gauge cluster and the big screen for the infotainment system is cool. When you go into the apps, you see the picture of the car, and you can hit it with your finger and spin the car around, and it's got sort of this gamification to it. And then of course, it's got the adjustable gauges, and there's the sport mode and track mode and normal mode. And you can set it to switch based on what mode that you're in, or you can pick the gauges independently as you can with the exhaust and the steering feedback and the suspension.
Gamification, he said. I like that word. Gamification.
And then they put the Fox body gauges in there. It's sort of a, not quite an Easter egg, but it's a fun little feature that it's got all the regular gauges.
Right.
And then there's the like 87 to 93 Fox body gauges. And when you hit that, it comes up with a digital creation of those gauges. They light up the green.
So cool.
Like
it's a thing.
Did back in the day. And yeah, so they're throwing a little retro style into it.
Some kids going, what happened here? Why'd they go to these?
But if you get to see one of those cars in person, when you walk around the car and you see how much sort of depth and angles they put into the rear quarter panels into the taillights and the leading edge of the trunk, and how it comes into the taillights, has more of a notch to it, but still has sort of the three bar taillights on each side. It's cool. It's a cool car, and it was a lot of fun to drive. Not so much in the rain, but it was still fun.
It feels good inside too. I sat in my friend's car, and it had a real nice cockpit feeling inside. It's not claustrophobic, but theirs had a bunch of Alcantara, and it just felt good. It felt very race car, you know. It was nice. I loved the interior. It was cool. It had good feel.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job kind of making that car start to compete with some of the higher end, like, you know, German sports car coupes.
Why can't Brad learn to turn his phones down? What the hell?
Brad's an important man. That's why.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of calls.
So here's the thing. I was talking to somebody about this out at the Roadster show, is that it's the good thing and the bad thing about Southern California. On any given weekend, there's multiple events that you have to kind of choose from. Like, we had NASCAR at the Coliseum, Grand National Roadster Show. excuse me. For those that were into it, Monster Truck at Anaheim, you know, and the weekend before it was Supercross. And there's, you know, it's, you know, Supercross, MPMC, Barrett Jackson winding up. It's great. And now we're looking forward to Long Beach, the Grand Prix coming up, and more things just coming up. So we'll be talking about them here on the show, and we'll be attending them. Aaron's going to be going to the Grape Stomping Festival. And
they harvested it last fall.
Oh, come on.
But I am going to lunch on Sunday, because I'm not a sports guy, so neither of us care about Super Bowl. So we're going to meet for lunch, and I'm meeting Dr. Chris, who has an original Camel Trophy Defender that was used in the Camel Trophy. So we're going to meet at my friend's Harvest Inn at the Harvest table and have a nice lunch. And we've known each other for years now. We've never met in person because he's a trauma surgeon, so he's always working. He's like, I have a couple Sundays off in February. This is last December, and I'm like, let's do it, you know. So yeah, I do have some car stuff coming. I do have some car stuff coming.
That's what we're all about, man. That's what we live
That's
for.
Right. So. That's right.
But Matt, anything news that you got to get in before we squeeze the life out of this show?
No, I could barely talk as it is. I know. Cold has been kicking my butt, but
I'm looking at Dark Horse pictures.
I and I'm a little behind on posting some of those photos, so I'll post some photos of the Audi S6 that I drove and the Mustang Dark Horse. The Dark Horse will probably be wet because it's been
the
raining.
Wet Dark Horse.
Oh, dude, it rained so hard here the last couple days. It blew my friend's awning off the top of his Airstream trailer. You know, those are really secured because you're meant to drive down the street with the awning secured. And it literally ripped it right off the top. We have it on camera. It downed a couple trees. It knocked over my motorcycle because I had a bike cover on it. I mean, it's been wild. A lot of flooding. Yeah, California got hit hard.
You know, people don't understand is that we get so used to not having very much precipitation at all. And yeah, if we do, it's kind of sprinkly showers, not really a lot, that when it happens, it puts a pinch on everything. It's like over at the Wheel Factory, we have all of our cardboard boxes, which people don't understand how much cardboard boxes cost when you buy them to ship wheels, because they got to be triple thick and have all this stuff. And we have them in a lean-to. Well, we had to move every one of those pallets inside, and that takes away from what you can do inside, because otherwise they get sopped and ruined, and then you're screwed, you know. But when we heard that was coming, move everything, you know. Rims can go outside because they don't melt or anything. They do water spot, so we'll have to take care of that. But we had to do all that moving around, and just to keep it, people don't understand all the little things that water can do. You know, everybody in the Midwest, those wheel companies, they put everything inside anyway. You know, we're spoiled.
Pizzazz seasons. Well, speaking of spoiled, now that I'm down here, I really want to get into the press car thing with you guys and actually finally be able to participate. So let's have that discussion so I can sign up and see if I qualify. I would love to do those videos. I watched some Car Wow on some of the stuff we were talking about before the show, and I'm like, this would be so fun. I would totally do this. His little stick gimmick, you know, where he sticks a stick in the exhaust pipes to see if they're real or not. I mean, I got to come up with some stuff. I could do this. This would be fun.
Cool. So that would be neat. Guys, are you going to go out in the water, or are you going to stay inside where it's nice and warm and cozy?
I am nice now. Inside.
Matt's going to the couch. I can see that. Matt's going to the couch. Aaron's going to the computer.
And... No, I'm going outside. I'm going to fire up the bike that fell over and make sure it runs and try not to tear up the soft soil. But I'm going to go play.
Well, Matt, where can they find all those photos you were talking about?
You could follow me at Motorator on Instagram and Facebook.
Double A Ron.
I'm Double A Ron all over the internet. Hopefully doing something interesting.
And be sure to check out our Instagram, Shift Steer Media, because we'll have all those photos up. We're always putting stuff up. We'll put some more up from the Grand National Roadster Show and these cars that we talked about. So, and follow me at Bradley_Fanshawe. And till next week, we'll be back. That's a promise, not a threat.
Like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.